Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming. What I propose to do is I propose to do an overview. I'll let Alan take us through the numbers and segmentals, and then I'll come back and give you a brief overview of the strategy, and then look at summary and outlook. So if we look at the numbers on page two, we had a moderate decline of revenue at 2.6. You know, this was actually a good result considering all the challenges that are out there. You know, the obvious challenge has been Nigeria, and it continues to be challenging through the year. It was offset by a solid performance in Asia Pacific and Europe and the Americas, especially the Americas from a beauty point of view, has been very good growth. I think Alan will give you a little bit of a view on that. In terms of the adjusted operating profit, again, it's 76.5 million, 9.7% lower in constant currency, again driven by good performance in Asia Pacific and a solid result in Europe and the Americas. And we had Nigeria in a slight loss in Africa. In terms of the adjusted profit, as we highlighted at the half year, it's in line with our expectations. And you know, from that point, we had to absorb a number of extra costs in Nigeria, which we highlighted at the time, the majority being related to the port charges. In terms of net debt, and this one I'm particularly happy about, and we're beginning to see the efforts of using SAP properly come through here, where we can see our end-to-end supply chains. We've managed to reduce our net debt from, I think, 165 million last year down to 152, and we've managed to maintain it, which shows a lot better cash management. And you know, this is especially important in somewhere like Nigeria, where when you go through a period of distress, it's very easy for your creditors to balloon. We also said at the half year, we're looking at a new strategy. The strategy is around improving our focus. It's about improving our flexibility and our ability to react to the world. It's about simplifying the group and the structure. So, you know, again, I'll give you that overview at the end just to give you where we're focusing on in order to give you a feel of how we're coming along. And in terms of the dividend, we propose to maintain the dividend in line with the previous year. This reflects both the good cash generation that we've had through the year and the confidence in our new strategy. At this point, I'd like to hand over to Alan. Alan will take you through the numbers and look through the segmental to give you more detail.
Okay, good morning. So I'll take you through the operation results by our three regions. Okay, so first of all, the group results. So these are unaudited results for the year ended 31st of May 2019. We've restated 2018. The two primary adjustments in the restatement. The first is all companies are restating revenue according to IFRS 15. That's about a 20 million change. And then the other area is around goodwill, where we've gone back and looked at our prior year treatment of goodwill. And we've changed the carrying value essentially based on how we valued it before. That really just as impacts the exceptional items as we go through this historically, okay, as well as the balance sheet. So if we look at reported change, it's down 6.8%. I think we've been able to find the currencies that actually have weakened against sterling in the world. So the Nigerian Naira is down by 11%, the Indonesian rupee is down by 3%, and the Australian dollar is down by 4%. This is offset by the US, which strengthens by roughly 4%. So that gets us the 6.8%. If you strip out currency, your constant currency impact is 2.6%, which is again a bit more moderate as a headline number. The key reason for our revenue decline is largely in Nigeria, which declines at constant currency terms of around 6.4%. If we look at the Europe and Americas, it's flat, around 0.5%. And then we've got a small decline in Asia Pac of about 1.2%. Turning into operating profit, we see a constant currency decline of close to 9.7%. We'll see as we move on, Asia Pacific grows strongly in the region of 13.7%. The Europe and Americas declines by around 6.4%, but this is very much due to planned marketing expenditure, while Nigeria is a loss of £1 million. Moving down to adjusted profit before tax, we see that's a bit worse at 11.8%, and this reflects the one-off in terms of, we all know we refinanced the syndicate, the £325 million borrowing facility this year, and we had some one-off costs in interest that we've had to put through. So that's off about 11.8%. Going to adjusted EPS, that's down by 2.8%, so we've got a much better effective tax rate, but that's due to our mix of profits this year, and our minority take is down as well. Alex has already commented on net debt, and I'll return to that at the very end of the presentation, but we're happy enough that we've got that down to 152 million. This will be a focus for us in the business. Moving down to the reported IFRS numbers, we see a 32 million change, and this refers to our exceptional items. Out of the 32 million, 26 relates to a non-cash impairment on two food assets, one being the 5AM brand in Australia, the other being Nutrisema in Nigeria. So all in all, that's our group results. I'll now take you through each of the regions. So this is our first region. It's our biggest region in terms of revenue and profits. This is the Europe and Americas. And the markets in this region are the UK personal care business, the beauty business in the US and the UK, and then our entities in Poland and Greece. So overall revenue, as I said, was flat. So we saw a strong result in beauty. We're particularly happy of the double-digit growth in the US that we had in our beauty business. And all our beauty brands are growing, particularly Saint Tropez in the US through its core brand and also the bronzing water innovations. In the UK, we saw growth as well after a difficult Q3 trading conditions, but we returned to growth in Q4 and overall growth for the year. We maintained our shares in Original Source, which we saw grow, Imperial Leather and Carex. If we also look at operating profit, if we then go into operating margin, we see it at about 21.6%. So the reason operating profit was down was the additional marketing spend to support our shares that we saw in the market. The operating margin declines due to the increased marketing spend, but maintains fairly robust at 22%. The final KPI there is our average net working capital as a percentage of sales. This is essentially our cash efficiency in the business, so how efficient are we being with cash? And that actually improves by around 100 basis points compared to last year, which is pretty good going in the Brexit volatility where many FMCGs are having to build stock up. So that's the Europe and Americas results, so solid overall. If we go into Asia Pacific, so what does Asia Pacific include? This includes our Australian, New Zealand business, our Indonesian business, and our business development in Southeast Asia, China, and the Middle East. So revenue overall was down a little bit by 1.2%. So this obscured a good result in Indonesia, which grew on the back of Cousins Baby, a small decline in Australia, and a small decline in our trading markets in the Middle East. Running on to adjusted operating profit, this grew strongly by 13.7%. The price and mix that we looked for in Australia came through. The additional revenue came through in Indonesia as well. This translated into much better operating margin with growth of 140 basis points. And in terms of average working capital, we are as efficient as we were last year. On a reported basis, we also see in the exceptionals, this is where the 5AM write-off is as a non-cash impairment as we look at future business assumptions. Okay, so Asia Pacific, very strong on profit. Finally, we come to Africa. So in Africa, this is our Nigerian market and also, to a lesser extent, our operating entities in Ghana and Kenya. So overall, clearly, Africa remains a challenge if we look at the 6.4% constant currency decline in the headline number. In Nigeria today, we face market contraction, down trading, and price competition. This really impacts us in the mass market where we have strong shares, especially in personal care and home care, which we saw decline this year. If we do look at some green shoots and we focus on our more premium brands, we saw electricals double-digit growth, and we saw our home care and our home care brand of Morning Fresh, which is premium. We also saw our Cousins Baby Personal Care grow, so that was good news. Taking a step down to adjusted operating profit, we see a loss there of 1 million, and it has become more expensive to do business in Nigeria. At the half, we signalled port charges, so the cost of getting our product out of the port, the additional logistics cost. We signalled that was quite expensive for us, roughly around £5 million, and that's what it turned out to be for the year. So in terms of adjusted operating profit, that turns it into a loss, including the revenue position. That eats into our margin, so we can see our margin's a loss, and it means we're carrying much more stock than we usually expect to, so that's why our average net working capital is so high as we deal with the logistics issues in Africa. Okay. Finally, we look at the cash flow and net debt position. So we see ourselves at about £152 million for the year. We've got a strong balance sheet, so that's good as we move on to the strategy. We've got the facility in place of £325 million until 2023. We've maintained our discipline over credit, especially in Africa, given the economy, and we're focused on driving down working capital and CapEx management. I think all of this leaves us in a pretty good place as we move into the strategy, which Alex will take you through now. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alan. So moving through to slide 10, the strategy. I mean, what are we trying to achieve? That's the most important thing. What we want to do is streamline the business, focus the business behind fewer things, in order to allow us to become more flexible, more nimble, more efficient, right? And it is for the future, but it's also for the present. The world around us is changing at a much faster rate than we probably anticipated. And remember, we've been on this change journey for quite a while. We've reduced our headcount from 12,000, we're now down to 3,500. We've streamlined our factories, so we just need to keep the pressure on and ensure we do that. So the three words we use internally, and this is what we're putting on the strategy, it's around focus, it's around scale, and it's around accelerate. It's around focusing on our key brands and our key categories. It's focusing where we're strong and making sure we become stronger. It's focusing where we know we can have an opportunity for growth in neighboring markets and doing that better. You know, and one of the things which in my mind says, well, what does that mean? What would good look like, Alex? It would look like 4/5 of our revenue coming from beauty and personal care in 5 years' time, which is where all the margin is, as we showed you. It will look like the simplification of our Nigerian activities and continued investment in our joint partnerships, because those do deliver great growth and have the opportunity for great growth. And I suppose the revolution for us in the PZ sense, because we've never done it before, is the disposal of non-core brands. A lot of time we've probably held on to stuff that maybe we shouldn't, so I think, you know, that's part of what we're focusing on. So if I move on to page 11, so why are we focusing? We're focusing on the high margin, as I said, the high margin beauty and personal care categories. Home care, especially in Africa, is maintained because it gives you scale in terms of your distribution, so it makes your distribution cost considerably cheaper. In terms of our JV brands, they do offer disproportionate growth in the marketplace, and you know, both in Wilmar and in Haier, we have the number one partner in the world for both of these JVs, and it's about the divestment of our non-core brands. We're going to look to scale the brands in high potential established markets and new markets, a bit like we did with the US. We're going to look at scaling distribution, but not through any channel. We're going to select our channels to make sure that we can focus on the right consumers. And we're looking at digital and how we're going to scale that. And we've got a project working on that. So hopefully if we do the first two, that will lead to an acceleration of the beauty and personal care to drive the largest share of both revenue and growth. We believe that both the Americas and Asia have probably the biggest opportunity in the short term for revenue growth. For UK and Australia, we don't foresee such great growth in the markets, but we do believe that we, through premium innovation, we can improve our profitability. And in Nigeria, we have a great heritage, we have great market shares, We need to streamline the business. We need to focus on doing fewer things in order to drive much better results. So, you know, that is, if I can give a sort of 30,000 level view of the strategy, it's very simple. Both internally and externally, it drives consistency, it drives what we're trying to achieve. In terms of our summary and outlook for the future, you know, I think we did have a solid performance in Europe and the Americas and Asia Pacific through the year. Africa remains a challenge. You know, we are improving, but it's still certain things, you know, still the ports are being difficult. But we are focusing on our fewer brands in order to make a difference. The balance sheet, as Alan said, is important for us, and we always maintain our focus on ensuring it's strong and our cash collection is strong. You know, the economic conditions out there are challenging, and we are focusing on our new strategy to help us speed up our change, reinvest behind our brands, focus on fewer things, simplify the business, and that will deliver sustained growth into the future. So at that point, that concludes the presentation.